can say good day to Adam White, who loves the program. He loves being here. He just loves loving. Adam White, good morning.
Good morning. It was a race against time for me to be here this morning.
How did it get to that point, Adam?
Because I had a flat battery.
Well, I was in the gym, right? I'm sitting there doing 3 sets of 10 on my deadlift day, because it's leg day today. And no sign. No sign of you, no message, no nothing. I was a bit worried about you. After my truck incident yesterday, I was a bit worried about what might have been.
Yes. Well, so I've caused all sorts of chaos at home because...
You've taken the other car.
I've taken the other car.
How long did it take you to work out you could take the other car?
Well, I had to get involved in intense negotiations because Emma has to work this morning and the kids have got to get to school.
Uber. Taxi.
So, yes. So I've been told I've got to call the RACV, but it's hard to do that when we're doing what we're doing now. Or do you do it online?
You can do it online.
Can you?
You could have called them on the way in.
Yeah, that's a good point. I could have.
Because it is difficult when you to call people for the next 2 hours or 2.5 hours.
I was thinking I might do it while the early mail's on. But then if you're on hold, what do you do? Seriously, this is a serious question. Can you do it online?
I don't know. I would normally just give them a call.
I don't even know whether I've paid my membership.
Aha, now here's the kicker.
Unless it's
there's zero chance that you have paid the membership. There is zero chance.
So I've got an hour and 40 minutes maximum to get that car working. Otherwise, I'm going to get in trouble. But if you get a flat battery,
right,
that's not irresponsible behaviour. It's just bad luck, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's bad luck. I don't think it's irresponsible. Were you accused of irresponsibility?
There was a suggestion. It's not like I didn't have petrol. It's just that the battery wasn't working.
Right. No, I think I don't think that's your fault. That's just the way it is.
It wasn't that wasn't conveyed to me this morning.
RACV mobile battery service, book online. There you go.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Just got to go to the website. You can probably do that while I'm doing the early mail.
Okay. No, I've got to do it probably earlier than that, don't I?
Well, it depends. I'm not quite sure. But that's a setback for your start to your day. That's a setback for the start of the day.
I know.
The friends in Shepparton are having some challenges. We'll sort that out. We will. We'll do our very best to sort that out. Whatever that looks like from the technical side of things out the back. Speaking of not paying the subscription, the service fee every year, you know how I had that incident yesterday with the truck?
Yes.
I get home and I'm consoled by my beautiful wife, the world champ. I've required some consolation. And she said, by the way, I got an email from the life insurance people. We didn't pay the bill. So what? We didn't know. We've missed the bill. We didn't pay the annual subs. I said, right. That would have been a setback.
Yes.
Had I been taken out by the truck yesterday, you would have got nothing. She was a bit upset about that. She wasn't upset about me being involved in a life-threatening situation. It was the fact that there was no cash when the situation went sour. So pay your bills is what the message is, particularly your life insurance bill.
I don't have life insurance.
Well, I do.
I don't think I do anyway.
There's a reason for that.
What's that?
There's a reason that I do.
Because
the trucks are involved.
Yeah. Well, what happens if you do die? What's the life insurance?
I'm not sure. Once I die, it's sort of hard to keep up.
That's someone else's problem, isn't it?
Exactly right.
Yeah. I don't think I've got any of that sort of stuff. I'm not particularly responsible.
No. Can we cut that, please? That needs to be a little button that we can press at any time and fire off. I'm not particularly responsible. that's funny. Half, you better call now. It takes time. This is about the battery service. You better do something about that. Palm it off to your personal assistant, Steve-O. He could get calling for you. That's a good point. He's got nothing else to do out there. What's he got? Till 7 o'clock. He's got time. Boys, Kyrgios is sucking it up in the tennis today. And Cincinnati's got no hope of winning with this attitude, says Ray. Have you been across Nick's work? Have you been watching the Cincy tournament?
I think he's run out of steam, Nick Kyrgios. He did well at Wimbledon. Then he obviously had that victory as well. I think it was at Washington. But he's just trying to get to the line. And the line for him is to play this tournament and then play the US Open, and that's it. Obviously, he's got some family health battles as well that he wants to get back and back home here to Australia. So I'm not holding out great hope that there's much to come from Nick. I think he's... I hope I'm wrong, but I think he may have climaxed for the northern summer.
That's twice you've climaxed in 2 days.
What happened yesterday?
You climaxed. At some stage, you climaxed yesterday. Oh boy, very sensual.
Oh please!
Might have been part of the hungry eyes conversation. Well,
that was discussed at home yesterday with my mum and dad. They were
sorry.
They were listening.
With mum and dad.
It brought back very bad memories. The dead ball. Father and mother.
They
were there that night.
I actually had some feedback about that yesterday. There was some distress at the breakfast table, the people listening to you, and the nudity and the
image,
the image that they created.
Apparently my behaviour was perhaps worse than what I remember.
Oh, well, no doubt that was the case.
I think
there's no doubt about that.
I think I told you that I may have been listening to the races from Moonee Valley that night, the trots, and may have had a quaddy while the dead ball was going on.
Right.
I don't think I was 18. Maybe I was. No, I was.
You're 18.
No, I was.
At a dead ball?
Yes.
That's normally year 10 or year 11 sort of thing.
No, it was year 12. But I also took a footy, which Mum said I took a footy.
You took a footy to a dead ball?
Yeah, so at the back, you know, in the green room or in the sort of preparation area.
Yeah.
I was kicking a footy around, which didn't go down too well, apparently.
That's an unusual course of events.
It is unusual. Not for me, probably, but that allegedly took place. Anyway, Nick Kyrgios is down 6-3, 3-1 to Taylor Fritz.
Right. It's a good name, that. You should be paying your life insurance via SuperHalf. You can pay it via pre-tax dollars. There's a lot of feedback coming through for life insurance policies.
Does that mean that you're... See, I'm backing myself in to live till my mid-90s, so I don't need life insurance.
No, that's true. That's right. That's right. You wouldn't need to. No, I do. I do. I missed it, and I still have to pay it out of there, and they'd sort of fix it up. So that's how it happens. I don't know, but anyway, it is via the super fund because that makes sense. Makes much more sense. I save dollars. It's all very complicated. The whole super tax, pre-tax, post-tax.
Yeah,
I'd hate to be an accountant. I would hate to be an accountant.
I know, you just leave that for
someone. Or a financial planner who does all that sort of stuff. It's just not how I'm wired. Now. Did you see, just by the way, while we're talking about tennis, is it part of the Owls update? No, I don't think it is. That we spoke about this yesterday, Emma Raducanu taking on Serena Williams. So what about giving her a bagel to send her off with yesterday? 6-love in the second. This farewell tour of Serena's not going to plan at the moment.
And then the arrogance from Emma to say after the match, oh, it was a pleasure to be on call with you.
Not going to plan for Super Serena just at the moment, so we'll see how that goes leading into the US Open and the US Open itself. Because if she goes out early doors at the US Open, it'd be an underwhelming exit for one of the all-time greats, without a doubt. Speaking of the all-time great, the Night Prowler, the Night Stalker, the Night Predator, the Night Owl is our man on the ground who gives us all the latest updates. It's all for Fuse by King G, the wherever and whenever sports update for Fuse by King G. The totally epic, as the crazy kids would say, new workwear brand. Looks great. It's got a brand new T-shirt on. You must have, I reckon there's a 35 T-shirts, long sleeves, short sleeves, and some hoodies as well in your cupboard, Al. You look magnificent. Check them out at the website, totallyworkwear.com.au or the 17 Totally Workwear stores in Victoria. Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Half. Good morning, Whitey. Good morning, all. Yeah, they're great sponsors. They look after us up in the tree there.
Is the whole sort of parliament getting some gear?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, they share the love around.
You like that.
Plenty to get through. We'll kick off with cricket. Day one of the first test at Lord's was interrupted by rain, sadly, with just 32 overs completed. Asked to bat first, England stumbled to 6 for 116, largely to Ollie Pope, who is unbeaten on 61.
Did he have a rear guard action?
That is, I would call a rearguard action.
Oh, no.
Henrik Nokia claimed 3 for 43. He's one of the Proteas' finest.
The Proteas!
And Kagiso Rabada took 2 for 36, so they took 5 of the 6 between them.
He's a Patea legend.
He is indeed. So 6'1", 1'6" on a rain interrupted day at Lord's Waddy.
Now the ball was moving around a lot, just because of the conditions. But South Africa bowled well, and I mentioned this yesterday. It was going to be a big test for this Baz ball phenomenon against a high quality fast bowling attack, which I think South Africa's in that category. But it's a bit of a precursor to how potentially Australia will bowl to England. I still believe, as fun as it is to watch, it's unsustainable. So I know
Baz ball.
Yep. I know they got away with it. Not away with it. They beat New Zealand, who got rattled by it, and then was able to beat India in that one-off test match. But yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how long this can continue. And I'm sure the Australians are watching very closely to see, with the likes, as you said, of Rabada and what's the other guy's name? The head of your
Henrik Nokia.
Yeah,
Henrik Nokia.
Just how they go.
He's not Swedish, is he? He's a phone company. Nokia.
It's got a very strong Afrikaans flavour about it.
6210. Mm. The old snake. Nokia 6210.
Disappointing news this one. Colombian rider Nairo Quintana has been disqualified from his sixth placing in this year's Tour de France for an in-competition drug infringement. The UCI has announced Quintana has 10 days to appeal against the decision.
So, hang on. That's an in-competition drug infringement. The tour's been finished for quite some time.
Yeah, I think what's happened delayed here? Sample or something. I'm not entirely sure, but
that's
no real surprise.
He's a big, a massive name.
Yeah, when I say no real surprise, I'm not referring specifically to Quintana, but just the fact that we've had a doping violation in the Tour de France.
No, that's disappointing. That is very, very disappointing. He's a big name.
He's indeed.
So that's not what we're after. Sounds like he might be in a bit of trouble, that man.
We mentioned that meeting yesterday between...
Can I just move on? Can I just stay there? So all he loses is his sixth placing. Is that what we're saying?
Well, I think that will depend on whether he appeals the decision. So I'm not too sure. I think they might wait to see whether he appeals, but it seems pretty light.
So it's not 12 months or 24 months out of the system. It's just you lose your sixth place, mate. Oh,
I'll come back to you on that one.
Let's talk about that, because I think if that's the outcome, then that's totally unacceptable.
Yep. Agree. We mentioned the meeting, the high-powered meeting yesterday, chaired by Tiger and co.
Oh, yes. Did you see Tiger walking off the plane?
Oh, geez, he looks lame, doesn't he?
He looks like he's 108.
Yep.
The way he walks.
He did not present well on the mounting yard at all. He wouldn't get the pick of the yard from Jane Ivel.
Jane would not be selecting him on top.
Rory McIlroy's called Tiger a hero after the top PGA Tour players met to discuss the threat of LIV Golf. Despite not qualifying for the event, Woods flew from Florida to Wilmington, North Carolina, which is hosting the BMW Championship this week, for the meeting about the Saudi-funded tour. These are quotes from Rory. I think it shows how much he cares about the tour. I think it shows how much he cares about the players that are coming through and are going to be the next generation, McIlroy said.
Righto. All right, we'll see what happens there. We talked a bit about that yesterday with Mark Clayton. But Tiger's doing his thing to keep it all together.
He did
leadership.
Walk straight into the driver's seat, though, and Ricky Fowler riding shotgun next to him.
Was he in the driver's seat?
Yeah, straight in the door. I assumed that it was a car waiting for them to be picked up and driven somewhere, but Tiger just behind the wheel.
I'd be catching an Uber, I think. Tiger's had some challenges behind the wheel of recent times.
We mentioned tennis this morning. 42-year-old Venus Williams has been granted a US Open wildcard. No real surprises there. She's obviously a favourite in respect of that tournament. And the Cincinnati Open, Taylor Fritz leads Nick Kyrgios 6-3, 5-1 now. So without watching this match, I would hazard a guess to say Nick has probably flown the white flag.
Yes, he probably has.
In other matches, Alex de Minaur lost to Canadian 7th seed Felix Auger-Aliassime 6-3, 6-2. Cam Norrie stopped compatriot Andy Murray in 3 sets. And Stefanos Tsitsipas on court, currently the 4th seed. He leads 6-3, 1-all. In his round of 32, a clash there. And just finally, a little bit of racing to finish with. The world's best horse, Bayeed, clocked up a 10th straight victory. He's unbeaten now from 10 starts with a brilliant 6.5-length win, if you don't mind, in the Judmont International at York overnight.
And there was another important win from a Melbourne Cup perspective overnight too. Dover Legend.
Nice horse.
It was a very nice victory last night. I saw on the Twitter sphere this morning. I wasn't watching the race live. I just saw the highlights of the replay. There's a few people watching that thing, Dover Legend. because it was a very impressive performance.
Those that have got on early were pretty happy with the performance.
Oh, is there a few people that maybe got on early?
Yes.
What? How early?
Two animals in this building. And when I say animals, one being an owl, one being one that
shark.
Resides in the water.
Is that right? Mm. And perhaps how early, maybe from a value perspective, to be
early enough to be comfortable, not early enough to be thinking about...
Are we retiring?
Retirement.
Not quite retirement?
Not quite retirement areas.
Righto. Some news just coming through as well, Al. You'll be all over that. You'll be loving this. Regards to LeBron James. Now, LeBron, of course, one of the all-time greats in the NBA, there's been a two-year extension for LeBron at the Lakers, $97.1 million.
Is that as player or as president?
As player. He might be president of the country by the time he finishes, the way he's going. But as a player, he signed a two-year extension to stay at the Lakers for $97 million, which brings his total earnings. He's become the all-time highest-earning player in NBA history with this deal. It takes him to $532 million. It can go up to $111 million, depending on what the salary cap does in the NBA.
And that's just his salary.
That's just his salary.
Outside of endorsements.
On court.
Yeah.
Yeah. $532 million. Good. He's been playing for 38 years, so that's, you know, it's not quite as dramatic as it sounds, I suppose. But some good news for basketball fans who love LeBron. There's plenty of them out there. Jackie Wodonga's telling us off the SMS too. Regards to Nairo Quintana, it was the painkiller Tramadol. He can't compete in the Tour de France. He's free for all other competitions. Now, Jack, this is why you are one of our great listeners.
And that's crap, though, isn't it? He can't compete in the Tour, but he competed in the other competitions.
So, yeah, I need to know more about the painkiller status and regulations he got.
Starting to get into Matt Keenan territory here, aren't we?
Starting.
I think the Owl needs to worry about his language. It's...
What did he say?
Well, I'm not even comfortable in saying that word. That's gutter language.
Well, which one?
I said C-R-A-P.
Oh, that's crap. No, we're okay with that.
You're better than that, Al.
No, I think you're... What do they teach you up in the trees? How's the RACV?
No, I'm in trouble. Yeah. I'm in trouble.
Have you got that sorted yet?
I'm overwhelmed by the online process, and so I've texted Emma. Are you awake? I think she's going to have to do it for me.
You're overwhelmed by the online process.
There's too many questions.
It's really easy.
Like, no, it's not.
I'll do it for you. Like, it's really... No, actually, I'm not doing it for you. You can do it yourself.
No.
6:25. Why didn't Ed Samaro CV help? If you've got any assistance for him, if there's someone just strolling past Templestowe at the moment with a battery in the back, can you just let Whitey know? Give us a call, 1-300-652-927 or 0416-90-5052. If you are, in fact, an RACV driver... Somewhere near Templestowe.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And have a battery in the back. Whitey needs your help. Past 6 on a Thursday morning. Nice to have your company. Question off the SMS. Why does Jack and Wodonga know more than the Owl? Have we overrated the Owl? Is the Owl becoming complacent? Asked the Prez.
Just getting ahead of himself.
Well, we've been...
Not putting in the work.
We've been concerned about this for quite some time. Mm. By the way, it's not a wider drug rule. It's just a tour rule. The Tramadol situation for Nairo Quintana says... Jack and Wodonga off the SMS.
I went for a walk the other day through the 100 Acres in Park Orchards. Have you been to the 100 Acres in Park Orchards?
Why would I walk well, through
it's
paddock?
It's like a sort of just a mini forest type setup. And
I don't think I have.
I saw the owl taking selfies. With fellow bird people. And you just knew that there was problems.
What's a bird enthusiast called? Well, there is a word for that. It's something.
I just probably call it a bird watcher, but, you know.
Right.
Sorry, Emma's asked what my car registration is, because she's going to try and do it. I've upset her. I've got her up, and she's away and running.
What is it?
I can't remember. Do you know what my number plate is?
Well, why? Right. Hang on, it's in the driveway. There's no issue.
That's a good point.
It's in the driveway,
mate. Outside.
Just go look through the window.
It's a bit cold.
Look through the window, Em. It's not that hard, that one. Now, we know our man isn't great on R&D, but, boy, that car's in the driveway.
Yeah,
should be able to get that. You know what? I nearly know it because I've driven that many times behind it, hoping you would open the roller door.
It starts with 1KA, but I can't remember the next bit. Anyway, Anyway, sorry, no one cares about that. Can I just ask, and this is for the Essendon fans that are listening.
There's none of them left, is there?
Probably not. Are you worried? Are you concerned about what's going on? Because I must confess, I did think, and I've said this all week, that clearly they had a plan, Essendon. Clearly they wouldn't put themselves in this situation if they thought they had Alistair Clarkson committed to the football club. That's not fair on Ben Rutten. That's not fair on the coaching staff. It's not fair on the players if they're going to do what they did without having some level of commitment. I'm not sure they have any commitment to Alistair Clarkson. So this a ginormous leap of faith that he's going to coach them.
Extraordinarily risky, if that is the case. I can't have that. My theory is that this is just a bit of is a pantomime. It's a bit of theatre, timeline stuff, putting it all ducks in a row sort of stuff, and making sure it appeases as many people as possible, even though it's unsavoury to a degree. Because there's no way. I just can't see it happening. We've established and experienced sports admin people that are involved in this story on all sides are going to make the moves that have been made without the assurance of the outcome.
I agree.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Experienced people don't do those silly things. Not in situations like this with so much at stake.
That's right.
That doesn't happen. So my theory is it's all a bit of a pantomime. That's my theory.
Yeah.
There's some casualties on. There's a body count in the way.
Who do you think Alistair Clarkson will coach? As it stands at the moment, you think he'll coach Essendon?
Yep.
I was adamant that he was coaching Essendon until yesterday. I'm now not sure.
So what if he doesn't? They can't go back to Ben.
No, I don't think they can either. I don't know. And I'm not sure they know. And I think that the only thing I can sort of guess is that they'll get to next week and they'll do an external review. And there'll be
a process in the back of that.
They'll be potentially without a coach for 3 or 4 weeks because, as I said yesterday, a review would take a long time. So I was just assuming that Alistair Clarkson would be the coach and the external review of the football club would take place alongside of, well, Clarkson's the coach. What does everything else have to look like? That will be part of the external review. And I think that still potentially has the case to be. But North Melbourne is still pretty confident that they are going to get Clarkson. And I'm not sure Essendon's necessarily confident they will get Clarkson. But they're in the running for him. So Clarkson's just sitting back with manager James Henderson smoking the pipe here because it becomes almost like an auction because he's got two live bidders and it's like give it your best shot sort of thing.
Well, but North aren't going to alter their offer to Clarkson, we're led to believe. I think it's getting to the point where there could be some reputational damage for Alistair.
I 100% agree with you. I mean, I think there's reputational damage at stake everywhere here, but I think I agree with you on that.
So I'd be mindful in how they play it from here.
Yep.
Of the SMS, ornithologist half, that's the bird person. Spot on, Tommy. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Great to have you with us. So we've got Jack doing great sports reports. We've got Tommy doing great ornithological things for us off the SMS. The SMS machine today is a raging river of information. And the Baker's added to the information. He goes, half, doesn't this just sum up Essendon's arrogance? Well, quite possibly.
No, I'm not. I think
cut the owl some slack. He's a first-year player and needs some mentoring, Whiting. Through Jason Horn Francis areas for the owl.
we're just needs to go back to the VFL.
We're very harsh in our critique of the owl, first-year player, first-round draft pick.
Yeah. But, yeah, so anyway, it's just at an interesting phase, this thing. I think there were a few assumptions that were sort of, well, if Essendon's prepared to roll the dice the way they are, that well, clearly they know something, or clearly they've got some sort of assurance, but I'm not necessarily sure that's the case. And I'm with you, Half. I think the Clarkson camp have got to be a little bit careful as well, that they're just not sort of playing a game sort of thing.
So I want to. We'll talk more about Essendon with our man Steve-O after 7 o'clock, because there's a bit more to talk about with that. But just on the backup plan for Essendon or North Melbourne, say, let's just say, because the Giants are out of business for Clarko, so it'll be Essendon or North Melbourne, which will be under the pump, should it go pear shaped. So Malcolm Blight comes out yesterday, because Ken Hinckley's name has been mentioned through all this as a possible alternative for both of these clubs. Malcolm Blight said it'd be surprising if Hinckley seriously considered switching. That's not the Ken Hinckley I know. I wouldn't have thought it's on the agenda at all from either North Melbourne or Ken or Port Adelaide. Coaches don't get poached. That's the history of the game. 99% don't, and that's just the way it is. He wouldn't even think about it. I wouldn't have thought. Why not? Why don't coaches get poached? Coaches get sacked willy-nilly. Players get poached. Why isn't there, and this is an unanswerable question, but I'd like to get your opinion on it. Isn't there a movement for coaches to actually look after and do the best thing for them, as opposed to the footy club? We always, the coach is obviously the spiritual leader, the figurehead of the football club from a playing perspective, from a football department perspective. And you got to be all in for that stuff. And that's a given. But why isn't there more coaches, Ross Lyon style, who say, you know what, I need to get out of here. I need to go somewhere else, and I'm just going to go.
Well, you talk about reputational damage. That certainly took a hit from Lyon.
Yeah.
When he went
but why? Why is it different when he does it to a player?
I don't think it should be any different. I think the difference is, well, the coach is responsible for the 45 players or whatever, and he's the, you know, he's looking after a group of guys, and it's more not fatherly like, but he's got a responsibility, whereas a player is just looking after themselves. Is there a difference there or not?
Well, there sort of is, but in the end, he's looking after himself.
Because the club won't look after him.
Correct. If it's not going that well, all of a sudden the club say, well, all that stuff you're doing for the players is fantastic, but you're out.
Yeah. I mean, there has been examples of it, but I just don't think there's necessarily been recent examples of it.
No, but I'm suggesting that should change.
Assistant coaches get poached.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why senior coaches don't get poached.
But I don't understand, and I do understand what Malcolm Blight is saying, but if I'm Ken Hinckley, and I don't even know who Ken Hinckley's manager is.
Don't know.
Yeah, but if he could potentially get a 5-year deal at North Melbourne, of course you're going to talk to North Melbourne.
I'm out of here.
And then you're saying to Port Adelaide on the way out the door, or not the way out the door, you're saying, look, I love Port Adelaide, but hey, you're not committing to me any further past next year. North are offering me 5 years. As a family decision, it's a pretty easy call, isn't it?
I think that's a no.
If you're a career coach.
Yeah, and you're a good coach. Like, we've discussed he's a very good coach. I don't know. I just reckon there's an opportunity. No, I'm not fishing for an invitation off this mess. No, I'm locked in for 2 years. I would never leave.
But we talked about this right back on Monday, that North Melbourne has to go hard after Adam Simpson if they can't get Clarkson. As happy as Adam says he is at West Coast, and I know he is happy there, go your best.
Yeah, I don't know why it doesn't happen for coaches. Tony in Geelong, mate. He's given us a call, 1-300-652-927. Good morning, Tony.
G'day, Daniel. Can we stop referring to Essendon as Essendon? Just stuck on the Messendon.
Messendon, I like that. That's good.
That's the Herald Sun tomorrow, potentially. Excellent.
If I had a Bataki ham, I'd give you one for that.
They are a mess. They have been for quite some time, ever since they sacked Matthew Knight to the Golden Child. Now, they have actually got form with poaching coaches. They did poach Mark Thompson from Geelong.
Was it a poaching?
There was phone calls made to Mark Thompson whilst he was senior coach at Geelong in 2010. That's a fact, because they actually, when they got Thompson's phone, they went through the phone records, and there was a lot of phone calls to it backwards and forwards to the hierarchy at Essendon.
He lost a pen. He couldn't find a pen. They were just trying to find it.
Yeah. So, but the problem with Essendon is they are like the spoiled little kid that I want, I want, I want. And unfortunately, as you would know, Daniel, that to win premierships and be successful, you have to actually have a stable administration and a stable coaching structure. You've only got to look at Geelong, Hawthorn, Sydney, that have been dominant for quite some time, and they've all got the one thing in common. They've got a stable administration and their coaching structure. Like Geelong's had two coaches in the last 22 years. Collingwood had Malthouse for however long, and then Buckley. Sydney's had Longmire and Paul Roos before that. So they just think that they can go, oh, right, we can win a flag, we'll get that person, and away we go. I don't think it's going to matter who coaches Essendon, because I don't think their list is that good.
Good on you, Tone. Thank you for that. You know, I think the list is okay. They just need some serious reshaping, is my take.
I think that's some interesting comments there. I don't disagree with them, and I don't necessarily agree with them. I think Essendon's... But Essendon's entitled to go after the best.
This is what I'm saying.
I want Essendon to dream big, but I also don't want them to be disrespectful to Ben Rutten. But then at the same point, it's hard not to be if you're going to try and chase the best.
No, but once they've made the decision that they want something more or something else...
Yeah.
Then they have to just accept that the incumbent is no longer the person they're after and make that call and end that relationship.
Yes.
That's the respectful thing to do.
Yes. I think it's what you want, but it's also the process you put in place to attempt to get what you want.
Hmm. Do I attract you? Do I repulse you with my queasy smile? Am I too dirty? Am I too flirty? Do I like what you like? I could be wholesome, I could be loathsome, guess I'm a little bit shy. Why don't you like me? Why don't you like me without making me try? I try to be like Grace Kelly, but I look so too sad. So I try, little Freddy. Great tune. Good tune on RSN 97 on Thursday morning.
You know what? Mika reminds me a little bit of Adam Ramanaskis to look at.
Really?
Yeah, he does. You know, I'm really surprised this guy didn't kick on. I thought he was going to be the new Freddie Mercury.
Well, that's what he said.
He's a very talented...
Little Freddie!
He's a very talented man, this guy.
Well, this was a big hit for your man, Mika.
He's a bit different.
Penniman Jr. is his name. Where's Rama from?
Lithuania.
He's a Lebanonian, M.N. Mika.
Do you reckon he looks a bit like him?
I need a refresher of what he looks like, this dude. His name is Mika, by the way, the writer of this song, Grace Kelly.
I do like this song.
This was a hit in... What year do you reckon this was a hit?
About 2010?
7, pretty good. I'll give you that. Yeah. In the window. Steve-O, good morning. Great to have you with us.
Good morning. This guy's an imposter.
Oh!
Seriously. How could you like... He's just a rip-off of... Scissor Sisters, I'd prefer. A little bit Scissor Sisters.
Well, it's a long way before Scissor Sisters.
I think Scissor Sisters was before this.
Right, don't you... You know, Scissor Sisters before this guy.
Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Stand by.
I'm not surprised he had one hit.
No, he didn't. He had a few. Don't you respect the fact that it's a little bit different?
Yeah, that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
He's got Freddie Mercury in this guy.
Yeah,
just he sings like him, performs like him.
Well, I'd prefer Eric Carmen.
Well, that was yesterday. You can't have Eric's birthday every day, mate. Come on, you got to go with the flow around here, young fella.
Geez, his voice is high. Real Freddie stuff.
This is good.
This is falsetto type stuff.
This is why it was good. It was different.
It's gimmicky.
No, it's not.
It's unsustainable from a career perspective.
Well, I don't know about that. But you maybe have been proven right. Mika's having a birthday today. Michael Penniman Jr. is having a birthday. I need to know how old he is, please. Mark Stevens.
I'm just guessing here. 42.
42.
Capital. 38.
He does the thing at the end. I nailed that, by the way. He is...
You did. It was
good. He is 39 today, Whitey. You are the winner of the birthday bulletin today. Other birthdays today, who we got? Georgie Coughlin's a TV presenter. She's 47. Damien Hardwick is 50 today. Triple premiership coach of the Mighty Tigers. He is 50. So what we know at the Tigers is normally Jack Riewoldt's around the traps with a cake. You would have been there before when it was birthday day for Dimmer. And,
it's Jack, not like Jack to insert himself into an event.
Jack rocked up with a cake. I reckon there might be a cake for the coach today at the Tigerland. Happy birthday, Dimmer. Christian Slater, American actor, 53 today. Who else have we got? Ed Norton of Fight Club fame is 53 today. He's probably got other things as well that he was in. Robert Redford, the great Robert Redford's 86 today. Happy birthday to Robert. And thoughts and prayers today to the family of Patrick Swayze.
We're not going down here again, are we?
She's like the wind.
We don't want to go.
So we had Eric Carmen yesterday and Patrick Swayze today. Real dirty dancing double.
Yes, they brought up some very bad memories. Not just for me, but for my family. I'm going there again.
She needs.
Give it to me, Steve.
She's like the wind.
Yeah.
I found something.
You thought you nailed that.
I think I just got discovered.
Like, yeah, we might call you back at some stage if we need you, Steve-O. when do you reckon Patrick Swayze passed away? What year do you reckon he passed away?
I reckon it was about 10 years.
I'd say 3.
2009.
Oh, gee.
When I saw that today, I thought, bloody hell, I thought it was 3 or 4 as well. It's been 13.
Wow.
13. Righto, so thoughts and prayers to them. Now, Mark Stevens is with us.
Yep.
He has got the sports report. Thanks to the good friends at the Harp of Erin Hotel, High Street and Kew. The Harp is your footy finals pub, your spring racing pub. All the action is live and loud. It's magnificent. Come and call yourself a local at the Harp. They've got a big day today, Steve-O.
Yes, a big fundraiser for David Rees-Jones.
You're going to have a haircut before you present, because you're the MC.
Yeah, no, it's a casual affair, Whitey. So I assume that you'll be popping in on your way home as well to support the Prada Willie Foundation.
Are you going to have a haircut? No.
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 No, it's a look. It's, yeah. it's real Xavier Campbell areas at the moment.
Yes.
From our man,
it's not as slick as that.
Oh, I don't know. If you could put some product in there, you could slick that right up. What do you got for us, Steve-O?
Yeah, we'll be punchy today. Obviously, Alistair Clarkson's the big story, as you touched on. He's been in Adelaide visiting a sick friend. So by the end of the weekend, we'll know. We'll make a call. Essendon versus North Melbourne. And I think Whitey's right. If you're an Essendon supporter, you're a little bit more nervous now. North Melbourne, they're still reasonably confident. I know that Wayne Carey came out strongly and says he thinks Clarko will stick with the Kangas. And 7 News last night, Mitch Cleary just happened to be in the right place at the right time as Sonia Hood, the president, left a board meeting.
Mm.
And she spoke pretty openly about the hunt for Clarko and the timeline.
Sonia, you just had a board meeting. Have you got an update from the Clarkson camp, and was that addressed at the board meeting tonight?
Yeah, we talked about a whole lot of stuff, including the coaching for next year, and we're pretty comfortable with where things are at.
What's the latest from the Clarkson camp at the moment, and the latest update you've got around a decision and the timeline?
We're pretty confident we'll know something by the end of the weekend, and we're really happy with the way things are going. We think we've presented well to him, he's presented well to us, and we understand where each other's at, and we'll see how that plays out.
There's been some reports that you sort of put an ultimatum on Alistair. Can you just clear that up as to where that sat and, I guess, the communication you've had with him and James Henderson?
Yeah, we've had fantastic communication with both him and James all the way throughout. There was no ultimatum. We just wanted some clarity on where things were at, so we knew that if we needed to move on to Plan B, we could move on to Plan B.
Yeah. And obviously Plan B is around the corner if it doesn't go your way. How will that look, and will you be looking for an experienced coach if Alistair chooses the other option?
I'll tell you what, if we need a plan B, come back and ask me then, and I'll give you all the details.
Generous with the time last night, Sonia Hood.
Handling herself really well.
Look, that was outstanding by Sonia. I was probably a little bit critical that she's been too low profile, but that was brilliant.
Yeah. I just think, we were talking about this earlier on, my view was, and it wasn't, it was just sort of trying to assess the situation, that it would appear that Clarkson was going to go to Essendon, that was where he wanted to go. He'd signalled his intentions earlier in the year that he would like to coach Essendon, and that, you know, it was going to happen. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. And I just wonder what's going on. I'm going to throw something at you, Steve. What's James Heard doing next year?
Well, Whitey, I did mention this on Central yesterday, Sports Central with Gareth, that Kevin Sheedy and his camp very keen on James Heard. Still a lot of love for Herdy. I couldn't see it happening. But Kevin, is apparently motioning in the background that perhaps Hurdy's the ideal man for the job.
So Kevin's causing some consternation.
Well, he is.
Tullamarine, I was going to say.
This is a bit of a segue because we dug up this audio. This is extraordinary, really. Remember, Kevin Sheedy's on the board. He crossed the floor, basically, to get Dave Barham the presidency when the vote happened. He went on 5AA. And I think the Night Owl's got this ready to go. No, he hasn't. But he went on 5AA.
Yep.
He made some very interesting comments there. So we're just going to dig those up. But it was really random and not part of the hit zone. I mean, he basically said that, North and Clarkson would be a good marriage and perhaps Clarko could go down to Tassie and send North down there as well.
I don't know whether...
It was an unusual comment. I have heard that comment.
I would describe it as mischievous.
Yeah, well, here we go. That we've dug this up. Take a listen.
I think Clarkson could be a person moving into North Melbourne, and I wouldn't be surprised to take him down to Tasmania. You just never know. Analysis says, look, this is a bit bigger picture than just me going to coach a team in Melbourne. This might be a huge move for him, and it could even involve Tasmania.
Is it reverse psychology?
Red herring, maybe?
He's good at a red herring.
An attempted red herring from Sheedy, do you reckon?
I mean, there's two ways of looking at this. One, it's mischievous. That's kind of what Sheedy does. The Essendon-North Melbourne rivalry, et cetera, et cetera. It seems that North Melbourne aren't happy with what he said. The other way of looking at it is, if you look at it and take it as serious, is that it is not in line with what Essendon is trying to do as a board, of which he's a board member.
Well, that's a problem. That's
a problem, Steve. Yeah, it's a problem.
We'll quickly move on. The Saints have got a few problems. Obviously, they haven't finished the season too well. They've re-signed Ratten for 2 years. They're now doing a full review into the footy club. David Noble, the SAC North coach, will be part of that panel. Of course, David Rath has been linked to perhaps a move wherever Clarko goes. He was Clarko's lieutenant at Hawthorn. Of course, Brett Ratten's safe, but they'll be looking at list management, James Gallagher, these sort of things. But it's unusual to do a 2-year extension and then so quickly do a review half.
Yeah, well, I don't think things are going to plan at the Saints. And David Noble, the man doing it, he's still currently employed, I think, officially by the North Melbourne Football Club. He's going to be reviewing this in Kilda Football Club.
Yes.
And there were some eyebrows raised about that yesterday, but people quickly forgot how fantastic and effective he's been as a football administrator throughout his time in the system as well.
At multiple clubs.
At multiple clubs, yeah.
And just a watching
brief.
But
I'd be intrigued as to what they're focusing on, and I wonder who's in the gun down there.
There'll be some change.
Is it list management? Is it recruiting? Is it admin? Who
development?
Knows?
Well, but goal-kicking coaches?
But aren't St Kilda in the mark?
Why did Ben Dixon leave St Kilda, by the way? That was a good point by half. By Rocket yesterday.
No, remember
when they were raving about the goal-kicking? Ben Dixon had fixed it. They were shooting the lights out.
He was at Collingwood too for a bit. He's been around the traps to go, just... consulting his services.
Wouldn't St Kilda be in the market for a head of footy because Simon Lathlain's going up to the CEO role?
Well, there was a suggestion that they would split that role between Ruth and James Gallagher.
Right.
But maybe that hasn't been overly well received.
Rather than having a dedicated person to...
Neil Barham to come in and just sort it out, yeah.
Yeah, the other story, a watching brief on Dan Hannabury now. A few murmurs. Of course, the timing would be ideal, wouldn't it, if it was to be his last game this week? St Kilda versus Sydney, it'd be a great farewell. So just a watching brief on whether he does make a call on his future today, Dan Hannabury. Let's hope he can go on, but his body sort of let him down. He's been a champion player.
So is he contracted for next year? Or
no, he's not.
He's not.
So you just look at the symmetry of this game and it would be an ideal farewell. So nothing official yet, but so we'll wait and see on Dan Hannabury. Now, it was interesting, remember I mentioned the four umpires half and we had a bit of a giggle about that and perhaps that it could come in?
Not really, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
The whistleblowers. So we mentioned that. We spoke about that. It's now getting closer. In fact, Caroline Wilson breathlessly went on last night saying exclusively
did she
that it's going to
your...
come in next year. So it's certainly getting closer. So four umpires, as Whitey would attest to, it's a tough job running around. So they'll move into the... So we get the four umpires. There'll be no emergency umpires. So there'll be more umpires on the list and perhaps even 5 to 6 umpires within a few years half.
Right.
So they cover...
Why don't we just have one umpire for every player?
Oh, no, that'd be silly.
I think it's silly having 6.
Well, they haven't got 6 yet.
No, but four is a good start. They've trialled it before. So they sort of rotate around in zones.
It would enable... I imagine part of the theory is that you can keep umpires umpiring longer because they're not as physically taxed. You get, and therefore you get better decision makers in the game for longer who aren't getting tired to make better decisions. Better decision makers making better decisions is good for the game, is it not?
And if we had six...
Are they going to be consistent decisions because there's four different interpretations?
Well, they will be from the one person, we hope.
We might have three different decisions out of zone getting involved.
No, I don't think we'll be doing that.
But, so obviously, as Johnny Bowden's been mentioning too, Dugowie certainly played, looks like Ginnivan as well. So a mystery scan, as we said, it showed up nothing, which was good news for him. And Jeremy Cameron, which is great news for Geelong supporters. Chris Scott's already come out and declared him fit for the first final. It's a very, very minor little nick to the hamstring. So it's cost him a Coleman.
I don't know if any hamstring issues are minor with Jeremy Cameron. I'd be a bit concerned about that. We'll talk to Sean Greg about that a little bit later on, Steve-O.
Oh, good, Doc. I better go and call Sam Harper. It's a big time for the Renegades, Whitey. The BBL's back on the radar.
You want to do any more singing on the way out? Because you're confident.
You're pretty confident.
No, I need background music. I need the right moment. No, this is not it.
John Butler?
No, not a John Butler guy.
No, too talented.
No,
you don't like talent, do you?
Dreadlocks and trying to be alternative when he's not.
Trying to be alternative when he's not.
A little drive on the way out.
Look at Mr. Prim and Proper over there. Mr. Living Richmond think I'm alternative. It's the richest suburb in the world, mate.